Hey, man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Follow us on all social media platforms at Rock News Weekly for our quick one-minute weekly update videos. And please give the episode a five-star rating if you enjoy the episode. Now on to this week's episode.
All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as Dahlia.
What's up?
We're back after 4 days,
man. You can tell by the look of us, we literally just walked in the door.
Yep, and we said...
hopped on the train this morning, and
this will be a good time to get our real honest opinions about the festival, as they are fresh in our mind, as we just got off the train. After 4 days this year, as we were saying by the fourth day, man, 4 days maybe just a little too much, but
yeah,
the fourth day, man, everyone was, I felt like, just exhausted.
You could tell, like, those who arrived on the first day, everyone's still looking cute and in their outfits.
Right.
Day two, still got it going on. Day three, everyone's laying down on blankets. Day four, everyone showed up in their pajamas. It looked like no one's hair got done. And you can tell our dog misses us because he didn't get to go.
Our
he's
dog,
like,
Charlie's,
where were you guys?
Yeah, he was home this whole time, and he did a great job
guarding the
defending
house.
The house.
Yeah.
And but he was jealous. He couldn't make it out. There was a lot of dogs out there. I did see quite a few service dogs and stuff. All right, so let's get into it. So we were going to go kind of through... basically, you know, day by day, and then overall, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of our favorites, stuff from the weekend, all that. So we're going to start our episode off with this recap, and then you're going to hear the interviews on the full episode of the podcast. And then I'm going to upload each of those interviews individually on our YouTube channel. So you guys can check out those interviews individually on the YouTube, but I'll just do one episode of the podcast, because we got so many this year. We almost had, I don't know, 10, 12, 11?
It was a
lot.
Somewhere
around there.
We were very busy, like trying to see the bands we wanted, but we had to stick to our schedule, so we're like trying to be back and forth from the Media Artist Lounge to, oh my goodness, all the way out to the Coors Light stage, which was opposite from where we were, so it's literally like a 10-minute walk. From one end of the festival, from, I'll say, Shockwave stage, which was the furthest out, to the Coors Light stage, which was the Jaboom Street entrance. So,
And it was quite a bit of walking. Yeah, quite a bit of walking. Four stages is a lot to take in. You know, the two main stages are pretty close by, so at least there's that, and you can see the screen. You know, of one stage as you wait for the other type of deal. So that is always a good thing there that Aftershock does right. But at the same time, it's really tough. VIP gets no access to Coors Light or DWP Presents stages. So you just miss like almost half the lineup each day if you're not willing to kind of trek it. And as the temperatures rose, I think, and the weekend went on, It really became apparent how hot it was and hard it was to kind of get around over the weekend. It was another scorcher this weekend, and the temperatures in the high 90s here in California, and just unseasonably warm for October, right?
Well, until now, like the day we leave, it's like
Of course,
it's like actually cold.
It's it
feels
super
like
nice.
Fall.
It's like, it's beautiful outside, super windy and nice, and it's of course.
Looking
not,
forward
not a day
to next,
from the festival.
Yeah, looking forward to next year
being
a week out, so hopefully
that
we'll
was
have...
a big announcement, so check this out, guys. Next year, it's October 10th through the 13th, which means they're pushing it back to the second weekend of October instead of the first. It's always been the first weekend. It used to be the last weekend of September, if we're, you know, the beginnings of Aftershock, but... typically, it's been the first weekend of October for a long time, and I wonder if it's from competition with Power Trip. You know, maybe they're anticipating something happening same time next year, and they want to maybe offset to where they give everybody a chance to check out their festival and not have to choose, right?
Yeah, perhaps.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's start with Thursday, okay? So this was Thursday's lineup.
I feel like that was a lifetime ago.
I know. With Avenged Sevenfold headlining and lots of other great bands, we'll get into it. So favorite overall set of the day, Dahlia, you go first.
For Thursday, for me, I got to check out AFI. I think I might have seen a clip of them before, but I don't recall it. So I was excited to get to check out AFI over there on the Jack Daniel's stage in Incubus. I don't think I've seen them before, so that was exciting getting to see them.
Yeah, Incubus was really a good one as well. Favorite overall set? I would say... I go with maybe Incubus and also the Bronx. I want to give a shout out to them. I saw them in transition as I was going from stage to stage, and I stopped by and checked them out for at least 20 minutes, and it was a great, great set. High energy guys. Those guys are from New York. They really throw it down. Killer stuff. And a shout out to L7 for closing out that Coors Light stage. We saw them on the way out, and that's the cool thing with that stage. Is that as you're making your way out of the festival...
If you're taking the Jaboom Street
right,
exit.
There are two ways out. But if you take the main one out
that
goes to the bridge,
mm-hmm.
you're able to see the stage from the bridge, which is kind of cool. Even if you didn't have a ticket, you know, a little insider thing there, you could go up, just walk on the bridge every night and check out most of those bands for free that play on that fourth stage, and it sounds great, looks great. You know, it's from a distance, but you could see it. But anyway, want to give a shout-out to those bands for favorite overall set, so let's move on to the next one. What's most unexpectedly good set? So what's a band maybe on this lineup here that you didn't expect that was going to be that great that you were like, wow, that was actually pretty good?
Great question. Let's see. Well, we ran into Kid Capucci in the media area.
They put on a great set. They would be in that category.
They're fun guys. They were that was like our fun. That for me, that was like the funnest interview of Thursday because they were just like so excited. They were fun.
They were really cool guys. I would say
had energy
for that as well as most unexpectedly good set. Them and Pink Shift.
Yeah.
Pink Shift was really good, and they were great live, and they were awesome interview as well. I want to shout out to them. They really, like, I thought the combination of both things, they gave us some really cool insider info on their recording process and their touring life, and they put on an amazing set. It's really hard to kick off the main stage like that at a festival like this and be one of those first bands that kind of set the tone, and I thought they did a good job on that big-ass stage, so...
Yeah.
Good for them. Okay, what's the next one? Best up-and-coming band of the day, I'd say Pink Shift in that category as well for me. And I want to give a shout-out to Starbenders,
too. Give a shout-out to Starbenders. They were cool.
They were awesome. We got to interview them that day as well. And they also put on one of the best like beginning sets of the day. As we just kind of got in there, we got in there real early on Thursday. We had a lot of interviews right off the bat. And... We were able to kind of, like, go back and forth. We'd take a break after the interviews. We'd have, like, 45 minutes, and we'd be able to hoof it over to the stage and then come back for the interview for the next one. And we were able to catch a lot of these bands. So I want to give a shout-out to them, too. They put on a great set, and we have a great interview with them coming up. Favorite headliner of the day on Thursday?
Well... Again, for me, it was Incubus. So.
Yeah,
because I hadn't seen them before. And I've been a fan since, what, when did they come out with their first at the late 90s, early 2000s?
95.
So I've been a fan for a really long time.
Yep.
Kind of fell off.
And they closed out the Shockwave really good. Like, they have a nice variety to their set. Great DJ.
And it was just, we all go there because it's a metal show. But it's nice to have that relief.
It's nice to have a break. Nothing but metal. Incubus is one of those bands that they have like the rockin' parts, but they also have a nice reggae or hip-hop influence to them, much like 311, which I will talk about them on the next day. But Incubus was great. Want to give a shout-out to them. And Jose Pasillas, the drummer.
Yes, he was our interview that day. He was awesome.
He was a really nice guy.
I know, like, their tour manager, he's like,
He's so busy.
She was like, wrap it up, but wrap it up. I'm like, he's talking to us.
Yeah, he was sharing
you
some good stories.
You tell him to wrap it up.
So anyway, shout out to Incubus. Probably our favorite headliner of the day there for sure. Of course, everybody loves Avenged Sevenfold. They were great and all, but L7, want to give a shout out to them. Closing out the Coors Light stage as well. Favorite festival experience that Thursday? The interviews, Kid Capici stood out.
Starbender stood out.
Starbender
Nothing
stood
but
out.
Thieves.
Pink Shift,
yeah.
All those guys were great. Favorite food vendor booth of the day? I guess for Thursday, maybe I'll give a shout out to the Grateful Dead guys, the Not Fade Away booth. They're always out there. It's not always, you know, part of the metal scene, but I think it's a really cool booth that has a lot of great stuff. I got a really cool hoodie from them this year, and I want to give a shout out to them. You didn't get much merch at all this year, huh? You didn't get a single thing.
I didn't this year.
I'll show you guys the merch here coming up for the next day. All right, so let's move on to Friday. Friday, October 6th was Tool headlining, Converge, Godsmack, Def Heaven, all that good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite overall set of this day?
For me, it was Megadeth.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen them before, and Dave Mustaine, and I posted on my Insta, he shredded it, man. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
I was
killer.
Like, I've got to see them. I'm like, oh my God. It rocked my world.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Get it, guys. It was awesome.
For me, I overall set, it's hard to say on this day because there were so many good ones.
There were a lot. Bad Omens was great.
Bad Omens was good.
Limp Bizkit was crazy. That was awesome.
They're my most unexpectedly good set of the day for Bad Omens. I was kind of going in not really knowing what to expect. You hear a lot of the radio stuff, but a lot of their other stuff was really heavy.
And they were doing pyro.
Yeah, they had
like
this crazy
405.
Pyro. It was like, I swear it was angled shooting directly at the lead singer.
It was so hot out there,
right,
and they're
in his
up
face,
there,
and he's shooting pyro at him, dressed in black.
Yeah,
it's nuts, man. So they're most unexpectedly good for me. Favorite overall, I'd say Converge. I was really excited to see them. They were super
Currents
heavy.
Was good.
Yes, definitely. Currents was also really, really good. They'd probably be in my best up and coming band, even though they've been around for a while. I would put them in the best up-and-coming band of the day, Currents. They killed it. And their bass player, she was nuts, man. She was just doing that twirling around. Like, she was all over the place, hopping up on everything. And vocalist was awesome. What else do we got here?
Well, Limp Bizkit took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Fred Durst
so
was, like, in
good.
A full-on cowboy getup, and he was doing this little... Dancer is swinging his hips. And
yeah, it said New Metal Cowboy on the screen in the back of the stage.
It was
and
hilarious.
He was dressed like a full-on rodeo dude. Like, I said, is that Sheriff Vern Warnke? It looked like one of our sheriffs. I swear, it just looked exactly like him. He had this handlebar mustache, had a big cowboy hat, tucked-in shirt. It didn't look anything like Fred Durst.
No, it didn't. It was awesome. And I took another video. There was this... attendee, he was climbing up the scaffolding.
Yes.
And he was like hanging, and he's, I don't know how many feet up in the air that was.
He was dangling,
100.
It must have been 50
dangling,
feet up in the
I was
air.
Like, oh my God.
A staff member kind of went
don't
up to the top.
Don't be that guy who dies at the festival and ruins it for everybody.
A guy went to the top and tried to stop him, and he kind of dangled down and dodged him, and then he fell into the crowd, and they got him. But yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was right at the first song of Limp Bizkit set when that happened. It was kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Best up and come band when we did that. Favorite headliner of the day. What would you say for the favorite headliner between these four here?
Well, Tool's always my fave. But as far as somebody I haven't seen before, I'm just going to go with Converge.
Converge was great. And then also give a shout out to Def
Heaven.
They closed out the DWP stage.
They
headlined that stage and they killed it. And I thought they did a great, great job.
It's just not my favorite stage, that DW Presents stage.
I will say out of all four stages, that's probably the worst because it feels like it's in the middle of everything. The food trucks are there. It's underneath the overpass. And there is a nice amount of shade there, I will say.
Yeah.
For that stage.
But there's also a plenty amount of dirt.
Yeah,
and...
it's tons of dirt. And it's just not a well-designed little stage area, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have some of the best bands of the weekend there on that stage. Polaris included in that. All right.
I
so anyway,
like my favorite stages are the Coors Light stage and the Jack Daniel's stage.
Yeah, Coors Light. We're talking about the small one there, and then the Jack Daniel's is
they're
the one,
both pretty much in the middle.
But the Jack Daniel's has trees, and the Shockwave is just a big empty field with dirt and dust and no shade at all.
Yeah.
And it's in the sun all day.
So the Jack Daniel's stage, that's the one where you see the most footage at the end of the night on
The main headlining stage.
Yeah, yeah. You see all those fancy pictures, that's the stage. It's pretty awesome. All
right, favorite food vendor. What did we get? We got the chicken. Shout out to the chicken tenders and the fries.
Yeah, I don't remember. Bacon Mac Daddy or...
Bacon Mac Daddy, something along those
lines.
Because
we had a bacon brownie.
Bacon brownie. So it was a brownie. It had some bacon on it. Want to give a shout out to them.
However, it was $30.
That was quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it seemed par for the course. Like, everything seemed to be about $20 and more.
Yeah, it was.
$10 if you're lucky for some fries or something. But
yeah.
Shout out to them. It was good.
Yep, yep.
All right. Let's move on to Saturday.
Saturday.
All right. So, favorite overall set of the day, headliner or not.
So, I'm walking into the festival with Chris and my sister and my future brother-in-law, Reed. And Corey Taylor was on my list. And Selena was like, she brought it up. She was like, oh, our schedule got moved around because Corey Taylor canceled. I was like, what? That's this morning. That's today. So hopefully Corey Taylor's okay. Hopefully we get to see Slipknot next year. That would be great. But I was bummed about that. But my favorite, of course, Avatar.
Avatar, yeah. Favorite overall?
Yep.
Avatar was great. They were killer. They were on 320 at Shockwave. Overall, for me, let me see here.
Polyphia was...
I would say Sleep Token.
I didn't see Sleep Token,
yeah,
but you took off.
Sleep Token was fantastic on Saturday.
I missed Parkway Drive, but I saw the clips afterward, and I was like, man, I wish I would have saw that set. There was this thing where the drummer was in this cage, and it was upside down.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I was like, whoa, that looks cool.
You could say that's probably the coolest moment of the day there. That was pretty awesome. Baby Metal was great. We saw them from the VIP area.
We did.
311. I want to give a shout-out to them. Maybe for the favorite. No, they're not quite the headliner. They were something different, like we were saying. And we got to interview Peanut, bass player.
Yep, he was awesome.
He was super friendly, super informative. That was really cool. So I want to give a shout out to 311.
Yep,
they're always a good festival. We saw Turnstile as well right after that.
Yep.
And then a little bit Death Clock on the way out. We saw Polyphia. That was packed for Sleep Token into Polyphia. That was the most packed I had seen that DWP stage all weekend for those two artists. And, you know, it was well-deserved. Those two guys, two bands, a lot of people don't really, you know, maybe hear them on the radio too often. They're not super radio-friendly bands, but, man, they're really talented musicians, and what a great live show for each of them. So,
I mean, we wish that we could have seen all of the bands on all of the days, but it just doesn't work out that way, especially when you're working at the event.
With the media and everything with us, it sucks because it's an awesome
bittersweet
experience,
we'll say.
Yeah, it's awesome to have the experience to interview these people, but at the same time, you miss a ton of these other bands that are going on that same time you're doing your interviews, you know, so that is a... And I will say, favorite food vendor booth of the day, shout out to Chris Santos.
Yes, from...
Dahlia was starstruck on that. He's a Food Network.
I'm, like, surrounded by rock stars the whole time, and I'm just like, meh. But then I see Chris Santos from the show Chopped. He's one of the judges. He was actually the head chef. He's probably the owner of the catering that catered our food in the media artist lounge the whole entire weekend. So I was like, I was like snapping pictures from afar. I'm like, I should go up and be like, can I take a picture with you? But he'd be like, I'm busy. Because he's that type of dude.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not. I don't know.
Well, it was cool that I didn't know he was all tatted up, because on the show, he's always wearing
a
long sleeve jacket and shirt. So he was all tatted up, and he was just, you know, having fun there, kind of seeing him being, you know, maybe I'm sure he's a huge rock and roll fan and being a part of that experience. But his food was great. They had the pizza, they had burgers, they had tacos, and it was all part of the media experience back there only. So we were pretty lucky there. That was a real treat. So, Sunday. What do we got here? Sunday. Favorite up-and-coming band we forgot to say. I'd like to give a shout-out to Ithaca.
Yep.
Those guys from the UK are awesome. They were one of the first ones out there that day, and we got a great interview with them. So I want to give a shout-out to them. They put on an awesome set, so you guys got to check them out. All right, Sunday. What a kind of a disaster day in some ways with Guns N' Roses.
I'm going to have to agree.
45 minutes late. 45 minutes late before they hit the stage.
Yeah, and we were like, you know what?
We bailed.
We bailed, and I'm glad we did because we got to check out Suicide Silence on the way
exactly.
out.
Suicide Silence was really good. That's also most
they
unexpectedly
were.
Good set of the day. I had heard that they were good, and my buddy James that we work with, he's like, oh, Suicide Silence, you got to check them out.
There
they're
were like these
killer.
Bananas in the pit, these guys dressed in bananas.
Yeah, and they kind of like, they're like, all right, clear the pit. We want banana A over here and banana B over there, and you don't move until we tell you to. And then like this whole wall of death, you know, mosh pit started with the two bananas, and it was great. It was hilarious. Like, it was a great way to end the day after being pissed off at Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses being late.
Especially when you're waiting out there.
Oh, it was bullshit.
Because there was really no one else playing after Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep.
And
Suicide
so
Silence.
Everyone's waiting. There's like no music going on except for Suicide Silence, which is like way on the other side
yeah,
of the
Yeah, and
festival.
They eventually like faded out the music so low to where you can't even hear it. They were like pumping it up for a while, and then it like faded out to nothing. And they just kept playing the same thing on the screen over and over again. And people are bouncing beach balls and stuff, like having a good time trying to keep their spirits high. But you could tell people were just like kind of leaving. And a lot of people on the bus as we were leaving and heading back to the hotel, they were all saying the same thing. Like, I gave it, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and they didn't even come out. And they just felt like it was disrespectful.
Yeah.
Every other band is exactly on time on these festivals.
Yes.
I will say none of these other bands were late.
Yeah.
The entire weekend.
When you were getting your reminder, if you did like the whole, if you downloaded the app and you had your schedule and you were getting the reminders, when you were there, they were there.
Exactly.
With this one exception.
So
it's
that
always
wasn't,
the same.
Yeah.
Story
not
with,
professional man
yeah
not professional at all
yeah
and then I will favorite set of the day Rancid
yep
they were killer they pulled out some deep cuts which was nice to hear that I was thinking it was gonna be the same old Rancid set but they played a lot of their new stuff
and
some
the
deep
Outcome
cuts.
The Wolves
stuff from Outcome the Wolves yeah. that they haven't played in a long time
like that
I Want to Riot they yeah. played Maxwell Murder, some other good ones that were just fantastic to hear.
Great interviews, Asava, Gnome,
this
Red
was
Light
another,
King, Daughtry.
Yeah, this was another big interview day. Shout out to Gnome. Those guys came all the way from Belgium. I would say they're my favorite, best up-and-coming band of the day. Those guys are killer, man. They're just like so riff-oriented, all instrumental. And they have these little gnome hats that they wear. And they said they saw some gnome hats in the crowd too, so it was pretty cool.
Asava, they were funny. Like
Asava.
Halfway through the interview, it was like the tables had turned because it's like me taking the photos and doing video, and Chris is asking the questions. And about halfway through, one of the band members takes their camera guy's camera and then starts snapping pictures of Chris interviewing them, which I was like, oh, this is funny. This is great.
Yeah, so that was fun. And they're great guys. They're
yeah.
from Canton, Ohio, and I was saying that was
my mom's
hometown. Yeah. So I thought that was cool. And I mixed it up, though. I said it was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's actually the Football Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland. And they went with it because they were nice guys anyway. But
yeah, Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, great interview. Yep. Really cool dude.
Very
nice
cool.
Nice to meet him. He was super
Matthew from
informative.
The guitarist from that group. He was awesome. I was chatting with him on the sidelines while Chris
right.
was
And then Daughtry, too. Super cool guy. And just down to earth, the very first interview of the day for us.
Yeah.
So, and then, all right, so what else do we got on this last day here? A favorite headliner? Not Guns N' Roses. I would say
Suicide Silence.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
They killed it, and those guys were awesome. Best festival experience of the day, getting to interview all those great bands.
Yep.
Sunday was a little bit cooler.
Yes.
So that was probably, it's probably the coolest day of the whole festival. Yeah. I don't know. It felt that way.
I felt like I was getting my second wind. I was, Thursday I was good. Friday was good. Saturday I was just like, I was dead. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then Sunday I got my second wind. Felt a little bit better.
Okay. Honorable mentions. And then I'm going to show you guys the two shirts I got. Favorite parts of the VIP area experience, Chef Chris Santos.
Yes.
And
well, that
the
was
free alcohol.
Yeah, that was media area. But yeah, the VIP.
Oh, yes. VIP area, I would say the air-conditioned bathrooms.
Air-conditioned bathrooms with water and soap. They had deodorant.
Advil.
Baby wipes.
Yeah, sunscreen.
Dry shampoo for your hair.
If you guys are thinking about it for the VIP, good. I mean, it is worth it in that regard to have a home base and a shorter distance between stages.
Yeah.
And access to the merch. As well as the food that without the crazy long lines.
And the viewing area to the Jack Daniel's stage is just incredible. If
it
you
want
to get that shot of just a sea of people.
It is. For the other stage, not so much. For Shockwave,
yeah.
It's not great, but you can watch it, Shockwave, from the lounge area in the VIP. That's pretty nice. But the sound was cutting out. I will say that did suck. The sound in the VIP areas that normally rebroadcast what's going on, it kept cutting out because it was so hot.
The reception overall, the bandwidth needs to be a little bit better because I was in some areas. You're trying to text
horrible.
Your group.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Because you're there with, there's other people that, you know,
they
are there
with
you.
They need to put up temporary towers or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Favorite new feature? I didn't see anything that stood out this year as a new feature to me. Did you?
I don't recall the big aftershock being when you first come off the bridge in the Coors Light stage.
The big letters?
Yeah, the big letters.
Yeah, they had that.
I don't recall it being over there.
Oh, no, they moved it around. No, yeah, you're right. But they moved some booths around, too, this year, I noticed. But other than that, I can't really think of anything brand new that stood out. Favorite food vendor for us, being spoiled, it was Chris Santos Catering back there. But also chicken tenders.
Shout out to them.
And that's the best deal, guys. It was good quality, and it filled us up and sobered us up. So that was good. Favorite festival merch vendor item. I always say the Grateful Dead guys, but we did.
You
get
wanted
some good
that
merch.
Flag. We got there on Thursday.
Yeah, I was pissed about that flag.
Thursday
it sold out.
Got there.
There was an Aftershock flag that said Aftershock, California, and it was the California bear, but the skeleton. And it was a wall flag for $35, and it sold out the first day. And I was upset about that. But I did get some merch, so check it out. We have this shirt here. Let me switch to the other view so you guys can see it.
Can I hold it up?
Yeah, you want to hold it up? That would actually be better.
I'll move my mic.
That way I don't have to
swivel my mic around here.
All right, so this is the shirt that I got. It's a black one. It was called The Gloom. And then show them the back with the dates. I like the dates on it, the way they have each day kind of stacked up there.
And it's kind of has a tie-dye vibe to it.
It's a black tie-dye, black and gray kind of tie-dye. Flip it around one more. Yeah, there you go. To the front now, and then the front has the skeleton kind of chilling with the roses, and then the Aftershock is in a big bold letters. It reminded me a lot of the Grateful Dead stuff. That's kind of why I got it, but I also dug the style of it. It was good. Okay, shout out to the bootleg. We gotta give a shout out to the bootleg shirt. No, who cares? Check them out. You gotta support the local community sometimes.
Hot dog.
You know, the shirts and food that they have right outside of the festival goes directly to those families, and so it's all good. Flip it around. This one, had the correct lineup on the back at least. Didn't have Pantera on there like some of the other ones that I saw. It was a way of giving back to the local community, so shout out to them. I also got this one here, the Animal Place Sanctuary in Grass Valley. I wanted to give a shout out to them. This is Vincent Van Gogh. Apparently, a goat on the farm that they have on this shirt.
Oh, we got that on the way out.
Yeah, we got it on the way out.
Yep,
for animal cruelty stuff. And so, we love animals, so I wanted to support them and give them a shout out. So, Aftershock shirt design. I really like the this one that I got, obviously, but they had a two-tone, a white and black two-tone one with a scorpion on it. It just looked weird, and it looked kind of cool. That was a good one, but I think the one I got was pretty darn good. Favorite set of the weekend to overall?
Favorite set overall?
The best one of the weekend for you. I think we had a great time at Rancid too. Our brother-in-law Kevin came out and hung out with us.
Kevin got in the pit.
Yeah, move your mic back. I can't hear you.
Kevin's like, I think I want to go in the pit, and then I was like, no, I can't go in the pit. I broke my foot like 5 minutes ago, and I'm old. Kevin's like, I'll go in if you want to go, and I'm like, I can't go in. Kevin's like, I'm going in. I'm like, get it, Kev.
Yeah, he went in and had a good time, and he had to stick around.
He came back with some grass on his pants.
Yeah, he had to stick around for Guns N' Roses, so I got to ask him how it went for him, so we'll see. But favorite interview of the weekend? Hard to say, man. We had a great time with Kid Capici talking about their experiences in the U.S. and everywhere they went, their Las Vegas experience and
all that. Chris got a lot of shout-outs, too, from the artists. They were like, wow, very proper interview. That was the most proper interview I've had. I'm like, I don't know what kind of interviews you guys are having, but, yeah, Chris keeps it real. He keeps it professional.
Well, I appreciate it.
And he has
a
prep sheet. He does his research.
Yeah, I try and do my homework and my research and at least have something out there to show them the respect that they're showing me respect by, you know, accepting the interview in the first place. So I want to make sure it's at least halfway decent. So speaking of that, we are going to have a separate interview episode here, guys. This was our recap. So we're going to have a separate episode that's going to have nothing but the interviews, all of them, because each one is about 10 minutes or less. So, and there's more than 10. So that's going to be a long episode. So I want to include that. All right. So this was our recap.
Yeah.
So the next episode that we post is going to be nothing but the interviews. All right. So thank you guys for listening this week. Anything you want to say to kind of close it out for Aftershock?
It was very hot on Sunday in the media area, and the only one who had the nerve to smoke a cigarette in the hot tent was Austin Mead. I saw him on the line.
That's
he was interviewing with somebody behind us. He's an artist. He was the opening on Sunday, and I was like, oh my, it's already hot. We're already sweating. I'm like, oh my god, it just overwhelming. Lee smells like cigarette in here. I turn around and he's just like hotboxing us in there. I was like, Jesus.
He was also dressed in a prison jumpsuit.
Yes.
Bright orange prison jumpsuit. So there's that.
And pedophile glasses.
All right. That's it for us for our recap. Tune in on the next episode that's coming up that's going to have nothing but our interviews. As I said, we're going to put them on our YouTube channel as well. So make sure you guys check all that out. YouTube.com/RockNewsWeekly. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. All right. Peace.
Peace. Bye.
And now a message from one of our sponsors.
New York City, 1929. The air is thick with crime, dirt, grit, and passion.
He walks alone. You know that, Jack? With a side.
But who walks alone, Nancy?
With a side of pickles, Jack.
Damn it, Nancy! Who walks alone?
This fall, there's a new hope on the streets for the innocent and a new threat to the guilty.
I work alone, Johnny. No need to drag you along like a side of fries.
Yeah, detective? I know you like to go lean, but sometimes you gotta double down, get beefy. Remember, we're a team.
There is no team.
After a life-threatening disaster leaves Detective Angus's face horribly scarred, but his cognitive abilities increase, giving him incredible foresight into hindsight.
I see it, Nancy.
What did you see, Johnny?
Tortilla Face will most likely strike again, as he did before.
My God!
You'll say that again in 15 seconds, Nancy. I predict it, because that rat bastard left another clue.
What is it?
He played us like the drums, Nancy. He left his calling card at the scene of the crime. A Slipknot.
My God!
A menace lurking in the shadows finds an arch nemesis in Hamburger Man.
They call him the savior of this city. What do they call you, boss?
Psychosocial. His existence and mine, a duality, if you will. Or as Hamburger Man would say it, the devil and I.
What do we do now, boss?
We wait, henchmen. We wait and bleed.
Ronald Snargetson as Detective Angus.
My face, like a monkey, threw up into a meat grinder. That's why I fight greasy.
Tiddly Sweeney Doo as Nancy Groucho.
It doesn't matter, Johnny. I love you. I love your ugly mug.
And Benedict Cumberbatch as Tortilla Face.
It all goes down tonight, Detective. Santa Maria, you're ugly. And that comes from a man whose face looks like Freddy Krueger's kneecaps.
Hamburger Man and Tortilla Face, The Reckoning.